Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, that we can come to you and tell you our struggles, Lord, our pains that we have in our lives, Lord. But we can also come and tell you, Lord, all of our celebrations, all of the things that we are so grateful for this morning, Lord, in our lives, Lord. We thank you and we love you for all that you have done in our lives, Lord, and all that you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. I pray that you've had a pretty good week. This morning you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. I would ask that you just be in prayer with the Graham family. Randy Graham passed away yesterday, so just be in prayer for their family as they go through this time of loss. So, but God is faithful, God is good, and we know that he has a purpose and that he is there for us and he's there to help us and to guide us within our lives. So this morning, you know, as we've been talking through the last couple of weeks, you know, about the Corinthian church, and it's a Corinthian church that was in crisis. And as we look today, you know, we see our churches today are in a crisis, you know, with this world trying to infiltrate the church and the church become more like the world instead of the world becoming more like the church. So we need to make sure that we, as born-again believers in Christ, we need to stand up for God's word and we need to use what he has given us in order to edify, to glorify the church of the living God. And we are that church, folks. We are put here for a purpose here at First Southern Baptist Church. Here on this corner, he has put us here for a purpose, is to fulfill his great commission to tell the world about him. And that goes through how we live our lives and what we say. And that's what we need to recognize, and we need to know that God loves us and he gives us tools to help us to fulfill his great commission. And we all like tools. I am kind of a guy that, man, I don't have something, you know, I need something, man, I go to the cheap place, I go to Harbor Freight, you know, but I go down there and I find me a tool, man, that I might need. I had to go this week because I thought I was changing the brakes. Thank you for that tip, man. You got electric brakes. You need to know the tip. So, but we, you know, I like to have a tool because tools make life easier. If you don't have the tools to do what you need to do, it makes it difficult. You know, I couldn't get some things off, so I went over to Brother Andy's house and I said, "Hey, Brother Andy, you got this?" And stuff. He goes, "Yeah." We got some stuff together and we took it over there and we got what we needed to get done. And you know, it takes the right tools to do things. You can fight through having not the right tools and it's just a struggle the whole time. But if you got the right tools, and that's the same way with your Christian life, if you have the tools that you need as a church, it makes life easier whenever you don't leave them tools in the toolbox or out in the tool shed, but you take them tools with you and you use them to accomplish the task that God had given you. And that's a lot of times we'll say, "Man, I lost that tool. Man, I can't find that tool." We need to get, and I'm speaking from experience here, we need to get more organized in our minds of the tools that God has given us so that we can use them, so we can pull them out whenever we need to. And that's what this passage is about, because they had the tools, you know, or they thought they had the tools, you know, in their life, the Corinthian people, but they were getting them from other sources. They were getting them from places, you know, they had them using the wrong tools in their life.
They had them, you know, using tools that really made life more difficult and made life not fulfilling within their life. And we need a fulfilling life. And we were talking this morning before service out there, and I think it was Miss Mary Jo said, she was talking about, you know, we were about the things that make a Christian happy. You know, the main thing that makes a Christian happy is to be grateful. If we are grateful for what the Lord has given us, then we're going to be a happier people than someone who is not grateful. Because what is going to happen if you're not grateful? You're always going to be mad. You're always going to be upset. You're always going to just be this kind of this grumpy old man, or this grumpy, I can't say that word. You know, I can say grumpy old man because I'm probably one of them. But you can be one of these grumpy people, you know, that is never happy. And it's because if I don't have the right tools in my life, I'm not going to be happy. When I'm out there trying to work on my truck and put new brakes on it, it would be just miserable because of. But if I'm grateful in my life and I'm grateful for what the Lord has given me, and if you're grateful, you want to use what the Lord has given you so that you can edify the church, so you can grow the church in your life. So let's turn. So are y'all there yet? Man, I've given y'all some time. Y'all got there? Y'all got there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by those dumb idols. And he's not talking about like the way that we use dumb today. What is the true meaning of dumb? You can't hear. These idols can't hear. You can talk to these idols all day. They can't hear you. It's useless. And that's what he's talking in this sense of these dumb idols. And we would look at it in the same sense as, man, these idols are dumb. Why in the world would we worship idols? You know, they can't hear, can't speak to us. However, you were led. Well, just saying, you know, that we had these idols within our lives and we were led by them. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaks by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of you for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Another the word of knowledge through the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, to interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And as we look at this passage and we think about what the Lord has done for us, you know, we look at, you know, the first part, and I'm probably going to not even be anything to do with that. So y'all can take a picture. That's some good stuff. We're going to hit and miss on it. But we think about these spirits, or what this Holy Spirit has done for us, you know, and his purpose of it. It is to empower us for service. And we are not to listen to the idols and think that we have these abilities because we deserve them. And that's what the people in Corinth think. Well, I want to be the pastor, or I want to be an evangelist. Well, I want to be this, or I want to be that. And it's not about what you want to be. It's about the grace of God and what He has given to you to be. And that's where we get mixed up, because some people think, man, look at me, I'm a preacher, and look at me, what I have done in my life. Man, you have done nothing. It is all by the grace of God that He has given you the ability, given you the gift in order to do these things. And that's where we get that mixed up. I didn't just say one day, well, I think I'm going to be a preacher. I didn't do this. I fought it. One, like, no, I don't want to do this. This is not something that I want to do. I want to run away from this. I'm happy in what I'm doing, you know, in my banking job. I'm just happy there, just doing, you know, my everyday work, you know, and God has impressed upon my heart. He has called me and given me, you know, this gift in order that I may glorify Him and that I may encourage others, and that I may, you know, be there as a gift for those. And it's not because of me or for me. It is a gift. It's a grace of God for the edification of the church. And it's not just the pastor, folks. It is everyone. You know, that if you are born again believer in Jesus Christ, then God has given you a gift to use for the edification of yourself? No, of the church. He didn't give you gifts so that we can look at ourselves and brag about ourselves and make profit, you know, for ourselves because of what we have, because we are able to do. Well, I'm a great orator, so God has called me to preach. God has not called you to preach because you're a great orator. God has called you to preach because of His grace. Because there's one thing I am not. That is a great orator. That is a great speaker. But God has done great things. And His Holy Spirit, not Jimmy Owens, but His Holy Spirit has empowered us for service. And we need to use these spiritual gifts as tools for ministry. We need to use what God has given us. Man, and He has given us so much. So we say, well, I'm not, and we'll get into this a little bit later, we'll talk about it, but, well, I can't do this, so I'm no good. That's not the way God works. Every gift is important. Why? Because God gave it. And it is to edify Him. It is to build up His church. It is to minister to those around us. In verse 4 of this, it says, you know, therefore there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Man, spiritual tools, gifts that God has given us are important. And the word gifts, there is no Greek word for gifts. That word actually means grace. He's given us the grace of ministry. It's grace, folks. What is grace? We got something that we don't deserve. Do I deserve to be up here? No. It's all because of grace that God has done this. It's because of grace that you are sitting here today and to use the gifts that God has given you. We have tools. And we need to use them tools. We need to, some of us, you know, we need to get them tools out. We need to get some WD-40 or something, get them out there and get them to working again, because they done rusted up, you know, and they got all tight. You can't get that wrench work quite right. So, man, I got to get something to get these things back going again. It's kind of like Gilbert's knees that he was talking about earlier. My knees, they just ain't working quite right anymore on Gilbert. He wants an Alamite. What do he want? But we need to get these gifts out because God's given them. And if you don't use a gift, it gets all stole up. It gets all rusted up. So we need to get out and start using it. You start moving it, them gifts or them tools again, and they start working and they become where they're working correctly, and that's what we need to do in our life. And each gift serves a unique function. In verse 7, you know, in this passage, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You know, there's a unique function for these gifts. I don't use a hammer to take off a bolt. I use a wrench. I don't use a screwdriver to take off a bolt. I use a wrench. Why? Because there's a specific tool that is used. And that's what He has given us. I have a gift that He has given me. You have a gift that He has given you in your life. So let's use that gift to edify Him. It brings, you know, or it brings unity and diversity within the church. Because there are many members, but they are one body. And I love the way that the Lord uses this analogy, talking about the church as the body, as our body that we see and we use on a daily basis. He tells us that, you know, there are many members, there are many parts to our body, but we are one body. In verse 12, it's for as the body is one, it has many members, but all the members of that one body, being members, are one body, so also is Christ. What is the Christ of the body? He is the head. What's the head do? What's our head do? It tells the rest of our body what to do. Our brain tells us what to do. You take off the head or you disconnect the brain from the body, and what happens? The body dies. So who is Christ? He is the brains of the operation. He is the CPU, the central processing unit of the body. He is the one that tells the body what to do. And if we want to have a virus, and we want to go off course, and we want to do what we want to do instead of what the head is telling us to do, everything goes chaotic. Not according to what God's plan is. So, but there is unity within diversity. We love whenever our body works together as it should. We don't need our left foot going one direction and a right foot going another direction. We're going to just be in trouble, aren't we? Or left foot working and a right foot not. What are we going to be doing? We're just going to be going around in circles all day. Any of y'all ever feel like you're going around in circles? We want our body to work correctly. We want our body here, His body, to work correctly. Because if there's one person, you know, that is the left foot within the church, and they're just sitting there, and the right foot is trying to get something done, what is it happening? We're just like, we're going somewhere, but we're not going anywhere. Until that left and the right start working together. So we need to make sure that we are all using the gifts that God has given us, and it brings unity into the church. Many members, but one body. And what happens whenever this goes on? You know, we celebrate, you know, the difference while fostering harmony within the church. Folks, and that's what we need to do. That's what it says in verse 14. Let me find verse 14 again. Here it says, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Folks, we have this celebrating the differences while fostering harmony within the body. And whenever we do that, folks, it just helps us. In verse 26 of this same chapter, it says, "And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." But what do? You know, we are celebrating our differences, but we are fostering harmony together. And whenever we work together as one, folks, it's a beautiful thing. We start growing closer to one another. We start feeling and having empathy for one another. We start recognizing each other's struggles in their life and each other's, you know, victories within their life. And when one struggles, we all struggle. When one rejoices, we all rejoice, because we are unified into one body. Y'all ever had one part of your body hurt and then it just makes the rest of you hurt? And your knee hurts, then what happens? Your hip starts hurting. You know, then your back starts hurting, and it all just works together. But what happens whenever you're feeling good? Man, when everything is working right, boy, you feel like getting up and going and doing something. And you feel like getting up and going outside, and you feel like working in the yard or doing something, you know, in the community. You feel like doing these things, and man, you just have a little more pep in your step. Because everything's working good. And that's what happens in the church, right? If we're all working together, we're all, you know, using the spiritual gifts that God has given us, then we all have a little pep in our step. Who'd like to have pep in their step for Jesus? Man, we need some pep in our step for Jesus this morning. Man, that's what we need. Instead of, you know, just the physical, we need to go into the spiritual realm in our life, where Jesus has control, where Jesus allows us to work with the gifts that He has given us to edify His church. We need to practice these spiritual gifts. But how do you practice them? First, you've got to identify your gifts. We got to know what they are, you know. And how do we do this? By self-reflection and prayer. We got to get into God's Word. We got to pray. And we got to look at what God has done for us in our life and what He is showing us. But we can also see it by seeking confirmation from the community, from other people within the church. Hey, I see that, and you have this deep gift that God has given you, and you can do great things in this. Will you help in this area? That's what we need to do. We need to tell people when we see their gifts, you know, we need to tell them, man, use that gift for the Lord. Don't go out in the world and let the world tell you what your gift is. It's not for the world to decide what your gift is. It's the gift that God has given you. See what other brothers and sisters in Christ, what they see in your life as your gift. And God will bless in this, you know, and we need to utilize, you know, your gift by serving within the church. Verse 27, you know, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. God has appointed these to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, you know, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles?
Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gift. And yet I will show you a more excellent way. You know what the best gift is? It's in the next chapter. Love. Love is the best gift that God has given all of us. If you don't love, you may have all, may have these gifts, and this talks about this in chapter 13. You may have all these gifts, but if you don't have love, then they are useless. We have to use the love that Christ has given us in serving within the church. We don't need to serve within the church because, well, I got to do that. Well, if I don't do that, you know, the preacher ain't going to get off my case. You know, I've got to go serve and I got to go do this. Man, why don't you do it because Jesus loves you? Why don't you do it? Oh, this is the thing, because you love Jesus. Do what God has called you to do because of the love and the grace that He has given to you. For you to use. We need to utilize these gifts by impacting a community, a wider community. Folks, it's not just about us right here. You know, God did not call you to be Christians on Sunday morning within the pews of this church. He called you to be Christians your whole life. We meet here just a short while during the week. Then we go out into our community and we serve those around us. We love those around us. We see what God is doing, you know, in the wider community by reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. And if we do these things, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, but we do these things, and it is the promise of a transformation. Folks, we have this purpose, this promise of a transformation. And what is it? Building up the body by encouraging and edifying one another. And I read that verse earlier, and I'll read it again. In verse 26, he says, I'm on the wrong page. Verse 26, he says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And encouraging and edifying one another, building one another up. But we are so bad in the church today that we like to tear people down instead of build them up. And I always tell my kids whenever we go to church camp, whenever we go anywhere, you know, that we are here to build people up, not tear people down. Build them up. Are you going to get anything out of anyone tearing them down? No, build them up. If you want someone to do something for Christ, build them up. Show them the love that Christ has for them. Show them what Christ is wanting to do within their lives. And that is strengthening faith through collaboration, through working together. And we need to work together. What's working together? Unity. We need that. We've got to have that. If we want to prosper as the church of the living God, folks, we have to be unified together to build God's kingdom. We have to go out and to do His work. We need to be witnesses of God's word, manifestation of the Spirit for the common good of all. So what is our gifts for? It's for me. Man, my gifts for me. No. My gifts for you. My gifts for everyone around. Your gift is awesome. It's not to edify you.
We have too much edification of self or self-edification within our world today, telling it's all about me, me, myself, and I. But truly, it's all about others. And whenever we love others the way that Christ loves us, and we use the gifts that he has given us, folks, we can do great and mighty things. And whenever we are working together, y'all listen to this, when we are unified, working together, and people see what is going on in God's house of people, it testifies to God's power in our lives and in the community. What's going on down there? Man, they must be giving pony rides back here in the back of the church or something. What's going on down there at that church? Why is people showing up? Why are they so happy down there? They got carnival rides in the back or something? You know, they giving away free hot dogs or something? What's going on down there? No, we're giving away something more than free hot dog. We're giving away Jesus. And that's what we need to do. And we need to work together in doing that. And if you're not here and you're not wanting to work together, folks, what is it like? That right foot or that left foot, you know, being thing there? Man, it's just like you're turning a circle, but you're not going anywhere. You feel like you're trying to do something, man, you're moving, but you're not going anywhere. Let's get everyone working together to do what God has called us to do, because He, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, same word in the Greek, Spirit, Ghost, they, or He, has called us to do things in our life that edify the church. So would we unify together, work in His church in order to carry out the great commission of Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit. And what else? Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And what does He say? I will be with you. He's not going to leave us. He's going to be with us through these times of struggles within our lives, because we work together, because we do all these things. I mean, it's going to be easy. No, it's not easy. Hey, being a Christian is not easy. You got to be tough to be a Christian, because this world has come against the Christian law. And we need to make sure that we are standing up and that we look at Christ as more important than this world that we live in. Because this is not my home. I'm just a passing God is looking to do something great while you're here. Because we're not here very long, brothers. According to eternity, we're here for just a short while. How are you going to use your gifts for that short while that God has given you the ability to be here, to serve Him in His church, in this place? Folks, we are blessed that we are able to serve here in the United States of America. I tell you, a lot of the Christians today wouldn't survive in a place like China or India or Iran. They wouldn't survive. We got to toughen up. We got to get the right tools. We got the tools. We just got to go out and we got to start using them. Them old channel locks, man, they're all rusted up and hard to use. Man, we put a little oil on them, get to working them. When they start loosening up, boy, we can use them.
get some rust off. And get God for His Word to go forth with us in His church. And let's do great and mighty things. We can. We've got all tools. We've got everything we need. We just have to use them. So let's commit to where we don't like it. Let's commit to using the gifts that God has given us for His glory. Let's do that today. You can start. And we have Easter coming up. Have you invited anyone to Easter service yet? Have you called family, friends that are unchurched? Invite them to come to Easter service. Invite them to our sunrise service. Man, we'll even feed you. I even make some gravy, boy. I tell you, you need that gravy. Man, right there, loosen things up. So what are you going to do for Christ? Christ is calling us to be obedient. Christ is calling us to use the gifts that He has given us. Because if you have been born again, you have a gift that God has given you. If you are born again, let me say it again. If you are born again, believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you a gift. To say He had would be to call God a liar. It's just we have to use that gift. We have to use what He has called us to do. You may not have figured out what that gift is. You have the gift. You may not have figured out. Start praying. Start being involved. And that gift will start shining. And you will recognize what God has called you to do. So as our musicians and singers come this morning for a time of invitation, I would just ask that you would just think in your heart what God has called you to do. Don't think in your mind, because our mind will leave us astray sometimes. I tell you, our mind is a well, that'd be all good, but I got this, this, and this planned, you know, and I can't give up all these things that I got planned. You know, I want to do them where God says that you need to work for Him and you need to do some great things in your life. Let's all stand as we pray. Lord, we just thank You for all that You have done for us, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace in our lives, Lord. For the gifts that You have given us, Lord, the grace that You have given us to fulfill what You have called us to do within Your body, Lord. Let us all work together, Lord, and commit to fulfilling that work, Lord, with the gift that He has given us. Lord, I don't know each and every heart this morning, Lord, but You do. Lord, I'd ask that Your Holy Spirit would just deal with hearts today, Lord, that we would just be committed to You, Lord, that we would do what You have called us to do within our lives, Lord. Lord, and we'll give You all the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name.